Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはカルチャーエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to A Culture's episode on Japan Top
10. Hello everyone, this is Andy
I'm Kai.
And we are bringing you another wonderful episode of Japan Top 10. So today we have a cultures episode for you, and this episode is all about the Japanese cars. So hopefully we'll bring our big, you know, mechanical insights into this and dive into, I don't know, some Tokyo drifting subcultures or something.
Oh, I forgot about that. I love that movie.
Yeah, me too. No, I'm like, we'll definitely get into it. No, but first, let us dive into some of our announcements right up top at the episode. So are you interested in joining our wonderful team? We are urgently looking for various staff members, including audio editors, content producers, and even on-air hosts to join our podcast. So if you'd like to join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there, you can check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for all the details. We would be happy to have you.
Are you interested in advertising on our podcast? You can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
Advertising is not only for companies, but also artists. If you are an indie Japanese music artist and you create Japanese music and want some exposure, please, please get in touch with our music director by sending them an email at nola@jtop10.jp. That's nola@jtop10.jp, along with the song that you'd like us to feature on our podcast.
And if you're enjoying this Cultures episode, remember you can receive the full version of this episode by becoming a Patreon donor, which actually can just start as low as $1. You'll also receive this episode without any announcements or interruptions, just the commentary and music. So you can check out our website at jtop10.jp/club for details.
Yes, and lastly, but of course not leastly, our annual listener survey is out. So if you would like to just take 5 minutes of your time to let us know what you think about our podcast, it can win you a free $100 gift card to the retailer of your choice. So to find that, you can visit our site, jtop10.jp/survey, for the details. October is actually the last month for all listeners to provide feedback on our podcast, and not only does it help us, it helps you in a very tangible way. You get a chance to win. So please consider giving us your wonderful feedback and help us improve on our podcast. All right, so as we mentioned up top, we are getting into the world of Japanese cars, and we gave a little preview of our interest, or at least my interest. My first and, you know, main contact with Japanese cars is actually Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. So, do you have any experiences with Japanese cars? Just briefly and generically, Connor.
Yeah, I drove a Subaru Outback for a lot of my high school career. I guess that was a while ago, but I really loved it. Sadly, I did end up totaling it. That's another story. Don't worry, everyone's okay. And the car, it was like 20 years old, so, and it was still running fine, like before the accident. And so it was a champ. And I really enjoyed driving it. I think if I ever do plan on driving another car or owning one, I guess I would like to have a Subaru Outback. It was very nice, and then the newer models actually look really nice too. So yeah,
I mean, like both like a good and I'm glad everyone's okay, I guess is the ultimate takeaway. And yeah, it just shows the quality of you know, Japanese car manufacturing, I suppose.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we can jump right into it. We have a lot to unpack, and I will be learning along with our audience and our listeners today. So just right up at the top, you know, I think Japan, when I think of Japan companies, one thing that pops into mind is obviously automobiles. So Japan is actually the third largest automobile manufacturer in the world, next to China and the United States. And the industry began when business conglomerates began designing trucks and partnering with European brands to sell their cars in Japan. So, for example, Isuzu partnered with Wolseley Motors and Nissan partnered with Austin in the UK. And as demand for domestic trucks increased, Japan expanded its military leading up to World War II, and manufacturers began designing their own vehicles, you know, kind of out of that development.
Wow. And additionally, in 1923, when the Great Kanso earthquake destroyed much of Japan's infrastructure, the truck and construction equipment manufacturing benefited from relief funds. So when American-made cars were imported to Japan, local manufacturers could examine them to develop their own products. Ford and General Motors dominated the Japanese market in the 1920s, but in 1936, the government passed the Automobile Manufacturing Industry Law to boost the domestic auto industry.
And continuing this theme of, you know, military vehicles and spending transitioning into the automotive industry, the Second Sino-Japanese War, which lasted from 1937 to 1945, prompted Japanese companies to manufacture military-grade heavy-duty trucks. And these also were serviced and used during World War II. For example, several major companies like Toyota, Nissan, and Isuzu built trucks and motorcycles for the Imperial Japanese Army, actually. Then, following World War II, production was limited and continued to be derivative of European or American designs, with Japanese automobile exports only accounting for about 3% of global passenger car production as of the 1950s.
But then later on in the 1960s, domestic auto manufacturers began competing for market share and launched K cars, which are small passenger cars with limited dimensions and engine capacity that were affordable for the average consumer. They are still one of the most commonly found cars in Japan today, making up one-third of domestic new car sales in 2016. The first K car was the Subaru 360, or the Lady Beetle, similar to the Volkswagen Beetle in Germany. Later, the 1966 Nissan Sunny began a new era of vehicles with larger engine capacity as small family cars.
Actually, so you mentioned up top that you had experience with the Subaru Outback, but I have my like sole experience driving a Japanese car. Well, I shouldn't say sole, but one of was my first year when I was living in Japan. I drove a K car, like you mentioned.
Oh, wow.
It was called the Move. I forget the manufacturer. I think it might be Mazda. And yeah, it was a very cute car, and like exactly like you mentioned, it was just super affordable and suited, you know, my single life very easily, and it was very spacious and roomy and boxy, and I really loved it. I would love to like bring that car with me, but yeah, so K cars are pretty cool. We can maybe get back into that later on.
Of course.
That's my little personal story. Yeah, so moving on from the 60s into the 70s, exports of passenger cars increased nearly 200%. Wow. This was influenced by the 1973 Arab oil embargo and exchange rate. So Mitsubishi and Honda began selling in the U.S., and Japanese electronics manufacturers began adding in-car entertainment, automatic wipers, electronic locks, dashboard and engine control to their domestic vehicles, and adopted integrated circuits long before the American automobile industry would hop onto adopting those kind of features, I guess.
Wow. Yeah, I like it. Like I'm used to driving very old cars in like US models, and I was always jealous of my friends because their families always had like some of the newer cars that had like all of, like, you know, the touch screens inside of their, you know, like next like the driver's seat on like the dashboard and like I don't know, just like all these like random features that just seem so luxurious, and I was used to like, you know, having like half working heater systems and like windows that wouldn't roll down all the way or like very fast, and like I was always very jealous. So
yeah, no,
maybe I should have just gone to Japan instead.
Well, yeah, I mean, you definitely would have, yeah, you would have had that, those luxuries would have been more commonplace, I guess, right?
Yeah. But with the threat of Japanese automobiles, import quotas were imposed in several countries, which prompted manufacturers to expand local manufacturing and build plants in North America and Europe. The Honda Accord was the first Japanese car built in the US in 1982. And then the 1980s also saw the launch of the Acura, Lexus, and Infiniti. And the Daihatsu entered the US market. In 1997, the Toyota Prius was the first mass-produced hybrid car, and in 2008, surpassed General Motors to become the world's largest car manufacturer. The Toyota Corolla became the best-selling car in the world from 1997 to 2020. Wow! Wow, wow, wow. That's crazy.
That is like, yeah, just the ubiquity of the Toyota Corolla.
Oh my god, yeah. I didn't realize how popular like Toyota was. Like, I mean, I guess if it's the most popular car company, like that's just mind-blowing to me. Then yet again, like Japan, like they're only ranked third in the world in terms of like automobile manufacturing. So like, I'm curious how that, I guess, like why that there's that difference.
That is a very good point. Yeah, you'd think, yeah, given, you know, statistics like that, it's like, how is it not, you know, risen outside of that? I wonder if like those numbers factor in, you know, units produced or things like that. I don't know. Like, I have no idea, but
yeah.
Yeah. No, I do. I do have to appreciate though, like something that is funny, not funny, but that I have always like kind of kept in the back of my mind is like, you always hear ads in the States, at least, or I remember growing up hearing ads of like the Toyota-thon or the Honda holiday sale or whatever. I never really got ads like that or heard ads like that when I was living in Japan, but just, you know, focusing in on that, it's like, yeah, I guess they are really pushing marketing here a lot for, you know, Japanese cars, and it's kind of subversive in a way because I never thought of it until discussing it right now. I mean, on all of those notes, maybe we can move on to our first, we're going to kind of, in today's episode, we're going to break it down into, you know, the main staples of the Japanese car manufacturing companies. I say main staples, like the greatest hits, if you were. yeah, on the note of Toyotas and the Toyota Corolla, let's start with Toyota. So Toyota was founded by Kiichiro Toyoda in 1937. But before it was an auto manufacturer, his father, Sakichi, actually ran a textile machinery business and invented the automatic loom. That's very impressive and cool in and of itself. So the principle of Jidoka, or automation, the idea of something being automized, which refers to when a machine stops itself when a problem occurs, later became part of Toyota's auto manufacturing process.
Wow. And then after Japan allied with the United States following World War II, Toyota founded the Toyota Way, which is a management philosophy that follows a set of principles such as eliminating waste, such as overproduction and wait times through continuous improvement, as well as the Toyota Production System, a lean manufacturing system that gave rise to concepts such as Genchi Genbutsu, which suggests that in order to truly understand the situation, one needs to observe what is happening at the site. The Toyota Production System, originally called just-in-time production, was a major precursor to lean manufacturing and focuses on eliminating waste and producing only what is needed. Factory workers are encouraged to use a pulley system known as an Andon cord and are given the freedom to stop the assembly line at any time so that problems can be resolved at the source.
This is kind of interesting, like, to hear and, you know, digest, because I feel like, you know, a lot of these car companies were kind of the source, like in the 80s, you know, when Japan was really coming up as an economic power in the world. I feel like a lot of these car companies, like this idea of, you know, eliminating problems at the source, or, you know, developing different systems of management philosophies and things, like, really produced this like mythos around Japan about, like, oh, they're, you know, like, they are built different, like, Japanese companies are fundamentally different and they are hard to understand. And, you know, I don't know, I felt like maybe, have you experienced a similar, you know, idea in just in your, you know, either research or reading about, you know, Japanese history, Connor?
Yeah, no, I think that actually that concept, like, occurs a lot. And it's just like how a lot of Japanese companies and individuals actually, you know, they'll take foreign concepts and they'll perfect them. Like, I mean, this reminds me of, like, you know, of like the Industrial Revolution that occurred in America and the, you know, America and, like, a lot of, like, Europe during, like, the late 1800s and the early 1900s. Like, that's, it seems like this, but then Japan, like, they just perfected all of it, like, the, you know, the manufacturing line, like, all this, like, they just, like, you know, made it more efficient and more, even more, like, sustainable, which actually I really admire.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, like, to like, bring, you know, make it a broader scope thing outside of just cars, and yeah, think about that. So, no, that's a good point. I appreciate that perspective. I think you're right on with that, too. Well, all of their work was not for nothing, naturally. So Toyota is the second largest auto manufacturer in the world by sales, and Japan's biggest company, regardless of any industry. So the Toyota Corolla is the best-selling car of all time, as we had mentioned. And Toyota is also considered a market leader in hybrid electric vehicles with the Toyota Prius. So the Toyota Commemorative Museum of Industry and Technology in Nagoya sheds light on everything from Toyota's original automatic loom factory to its classic cars, robotics, and manufacturing process.
But in 2020, Toyota unveiled its plan to create Woven City, a 2,000-person city of the future that will test autonomous, zero-emission vehicles, smart technology, and robot-assisted living. It will be located in the foothills of Mount Fuji on a 175-acre site. What do you think of that? What do you think of that, Andy?
That sounds wild. I mean, sign me up. It just sounds like, honestly, it sounds like they're driving us forward to, like, a point in which, like, I feel like a lot of sci-fi stories have, you know, tried to, you know, predict or venture into this territory, and Toyota seems to be paving the way to our, like, robot future. I don't know.
Yeah, I've always had mixed feelings on robots and artificial intelligence. I feel like it's still definitely, like, a pioneering field, and I think that we don't really know a lot of the, like, ethics of it, or the proper ethics of it, and, like, I guess the implications of artificial intelligence. And so, I mean, I feel like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, The Matrix before, but I feel like, I feel like artificial intelligence can either create, will either, like, make our future, like, a dystopia or a utopia. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like Japan has, like, the best odds of, like, making it, like, you know, for the better.
Let's hope. I'm, like, the one kernel in that statement that you gave us that I'm holding on to is, like, zero emission vehicles sounds pretty cool. I can definitely get behind that. So let's hope a zero emission city could, you know, produce something hopeful and good for the future.
Yeah, that's interesting because like I'm trying to think of like zero emission fuel or like, you know, fueled vehicles, and like I'm only thinking of, you know, either electric or hydrogen. And like, I mean, I know in the US, like hydrogen powered cars, like in California specifically, I know that they're really popular there for a while, and I'm not sure, I think it just kind of stopped because it's difficult to go and get like pure hydrogen. But like, I mean, the only output of those vehicles is like oxygen and water, I think, or maybe it's just, it's just water actually, I think, which is very interesting. And then like with electric powered cars, I guess it's, you know, as long as the electricity source is like, you know, cleanly sourced, I guess, then it's considered like zero emission. But I mean, I'm curious how they're gonna do that.
I also want to know how you get on the list for the city. I know that's like a completely big tangent, but if there's applications, I'm currently going through a job search, so like I could sign up for this.
Best of luck.
Thank you so much. You know, the bright future that Toyota hopes to provide, to our first song, let us transition into a little bit of music to give our listeners a break from all of that wonderful history. Today, like, to kind of usher in this hopeful idea, we have Mr. Children with their song Kari no Sasu Hoe.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
1999. I hope you enjoy.
You
That again was Mr. Children with Hikari no Sasuhoe. Yeah, thank you everyone for tuning in. Please tune in next time because we have a very exciting episode for you. November is just around the corner, actually less than a week from now when this comes out. So Christine and Connor once again will be joining together to bring you a brand new Artist of the Month episode, which will feature an awesome band, the Peggies. So I hope you enjoy.
I'm a big proponent for the Peggies. I think this episode was my idea. I really like this band. So please watch that episode as well if you're listening to this. It will be fun and I will be very enthusiastic about it. But yes, thank you so much, Andy.
No, that's great. And yes, tune in. You can hear the excitement in his voice. You don't want to disappoint Connor. So.
Yeah, it's Chuck's smiling very hard right now.
All right. Well, take care. Be safe. And until next time. Jane.
Bye. Japan Top 10.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.